Before singing it, and this musician can sing it if you'd like to. I can remember singing that song before I truly surrendered my heart to the Lord, and it was just a song. Yeah. But you know what? Whenever I truly gave my heart to the Lord and I sang that song, it's a completely different song.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Right. And if you've ever come to that experience, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's an awesome thing to truly have given your heart to the Lord. And I was telling the kids on the way to church today and my family, you know, if you had never been sick in your entire life, you've never had an ailment, you've never had a sniffle, you've never had any kind of wheezing, never had an itch, nothing. And then I was to come to you and say, I have got this miracle drug. You're absolutely going to love it because it will cure all sicknesses. You could never appreciate that. But if you are sick and you're dying on a hospital bed and you've got every ache and ailment you could ever possibly imagine, and I say, I've got this wonderful thing right here that's going to take all of your pain away, you're going to say, give it to me. Because there's always something, and what it is, there's a need inside you calling for that. And that's the way the Lord Jesus is whenever you are truly hungry for God and you say, I've got what you're looking for right here, there's always something inside you says, give me that. I want that. You say, amen. That's why we want the Lord this morning. There's a lot of people laying in bed this morning that they have no desire for the Lord at all. But why are we here this morning? We have saints here that drove through rain, went through all these things. Why did they do that? Because there's something inside them that says, I want God. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to our scriptures, if you don't mind. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to read verses 19 through 21. And I want to speak to you in rhythm to God's design. In rhythm to God's design. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19, and going to go through 21. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them unto the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord God, you know in myself, Lord, I could go a million different directions, Lord, this morning, but Lord, I felt compelled by you to go this way. Lord, I am relying wholly on thy leadership this morning, asking you that you will speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to receive what you have for us today, Lord, that we can be more than conquerors, Lord, in walking in the fullness as a son and daughter of God in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Speaking to you in rhythm to God's design. You know, God has got a plan, and he has designed subjects to fulfill his plan. Right. You know, you've got designers out there, they'll design a product, and if you use the product for what it's designed for, it usually gets a good result. You say amen. Right. They've got washing detergent that works really well for washing laundry. But you got kids today that want to eat it. It don't work too good for that.
No.
They got toothpaste for that, folks. But you know what? What it is you've got to use it for what it was designed for.
That's right.
And, you know, God is a designer. And you know how many knows that Satan is a designer? Brother Graham said that Satan was a designer of the woman. How many knows that?
That's right.
He said, how can that be, Brother Daniel? As time goes on, Satan will cause that woman to where she will begin to look more and more like the world. And as time goes closer to the end, she'll actually become more beautiful than what they used to. And I can't remember the name of the woman's name that Brother Brenham had brought in his time. He said, if you look at so-and-so compared to the average teenage girl today, there's no comparison to the beauty. What was the name, brother? Brother Brian, or Sister Brian. You heard what it is. I can't hear from up here. But that was one of the signs of today is women are becoming more beautiful.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about a woman is, you know, Brother Brown used many typologies about a woman. And sisters, if you're here, I want you to mean I'm not degrading you at all. But this does, and neither was Brother Brenham. He was showing how great you could possibly be,
right,
a woman.
Right.
You know, a woman, she was created to be a helpmate to her husband. She was designed by God, from God, to bear children, to be a helpmate unto her husband. But, and you know, in an animal, and there's mixed audiences, I understand, but in an animal world, there's only a time in season when that woman is in season. You know what I'm talking about? To reproduce. And in the animal kingdom. But a woman is different. It can happen at any time.
Right.
And the reason in the original creation for that was because that way it could reproduce and bear life. But the woman of today, of what the woman has become, is she can do it at any time
And it don't matter whether it's your husband or not. And it's not to produce, reproduce, because most of the women today don't want to reproduce. They'll use birth control. They'll use every thing that you can imagine that she don't reproduce. She doesn't want to. I'm talking in mixed language. We got kids in here. So if you're if you know what I'm talking about, just read between the lines. There's a she can't reproduce. She has no desire to reproduce. So she'll use protections of every element that she can because she has no desire to reproduce life. And that's what she was for. She was to reproduce life of her husband and be a helpmate unto her husband and to bear his name.
That's right.
The original creation of the way it was. We know in the beginning God, the original, was to speak into existence. We understand that. But as husband and wife, that is, she was to bear life. And when she seen her husband, whenever she received her husband, she received his word. She seen the words that he would speak and the actions that he would make. And there's something inside her says, I love this man. And I'm willing to lay my life down and take this man's name. And I'm going to manifest his name. I am going to become his wife. And everything that he is, I am going to replicate. And then the children that I have is going to look just like him.
Right.
So to make it easier for the children to see, if I had a dinosaur up here, so to speak, and I had babies of that dinosaur, the dinosaur would look just like that dinosaur. It wouldn't, if it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, it wouldn't be a the three horn. I can't remember what in the world it's called.
Is it Triceratops? Is that what it is?
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It will look the same. It won't be something different. It'll be the same. And if you start at the very top and you go down, great-grandpa, all the way down, going all the way down the bloodline, it's going to be the same. It's not going to be a different dinosaur. It's going to be the exact same bloodline going through. And the reason is there is a reciprocation to where the husband is this, the wife replicates what that is, she makes it in the children. The children replicate what that is, and all the way down this bloodline. And that's why if you take a thoroughbred horse,
yes,
and you look all the way up the bloodline of that thoroughbred horse, it will look the same. It's not going to have two tails. It's not going to have four eyes. It's going to look the exact same. And the reason is, it's a thoroughbred. And it's replicating what it was designed to do. But if you inbreed these things, you can get a mule, and that thing can't never reproduce itself.
Right.
It's hybridized. You try to breed him back and try to make a thoroughbred, it'll never happen. The reason is, it's because of what he is. I won't be a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
I won't be a thoroughbred where I can trace back in the lineage, and I want to find out who my mommy was, who my papa was. I want to see who they are. And we're talking about God's design and how we're going to be in rhythm to God's design. Man, he becomes smart enough to one day, he realized that there is unity. And when there's unity, there's power. And I'm going to read a few quotes here, so just bear with me. If I can give this to you the way he gave it to me, you're going to be blessed. that's the hard part. Okay, here's a quote I'm going to read to you. Just stay with me. But we find out here that they have united. And this is talking about Babylon and Nimrod. We find out here that they have united under one great leader. And when you get man under leadership of man, then he gets some ideas of his own, trying to achieve something that he can design or do himself. And Nimrod had built them a tower. And that's a very strange to think that how all the things that the devil has, he stole the copyright from God to make it. Satan cannot create. Satan is no creator. He's a perverter of something God created. You say amen.
Amen.
That's the reason there is no one that knows the Bible or knows God that would say that the devil can heal. Healing is creation, and if the devil can create, he can create himself a world and some people. But he cannot create. He perverts what God has created.
Yes.
Okay, let's keep building now. This is from another sermon. It says, and many can achieve better when they're united together.
Now, you take one man by himself, his power is limited to one man. Two men makes him twice his strength. Four men, let me zoom this in a little bit better. Four men makes him four times his strength. And God wants us to be one. God made man that we should be one, and our motives should be one. Our objectives should be one. Our achievements should be one. He is just designed that way. And we find out that immediately after the antediluvian destruction, that man began to try to take over again himself. And all the time these things are going on, the Spirit of the living God is striving with flesh, trying to get man away from his own achievement, and try to get man away from his own selfish motives and objectives to a plan which God has laid down. And as long as man works in his plan, he will be a failure. And man can only achieve right when he comes back with the right objective and the right motive. And that is according to God's plan for him. Any other foundation is sinking sand. And we find out then that they've tried to unite, and they begin come one person. But in this uniting, they did that time, it was under a political power. Now think about this. Man become one. Their objective was one. Their achievements was one. But it was the wrong kind of one, because it was against the plan of God. But it continued to go on. And finally, you find a unity amongst people like that. They do great things. I want you to think about this. You think about the accomplishments that the Baptists have accomplished. You think about the accomplishments that the Pentecostal denominations have accomplished. Yeah. There are great accomplishments. And don't think it's just right here in the peripheral view. When I've been to Honduras, be there, huge works that are done. Huge. If you were to just examine one of the denominations and you look at the works that were accomplished by that one denomination, it would truly blow your mind. And if you look at all of them together, it's even bigger. Even though we're not a denominational church, I want you to grasp on this and see how close that devil tries to get to us.
Right.
And finally, we find unity amongst people like that. They do great things. Just look over the world today. When people unify themselves together, yet under the wrong plan, they'll do great things. Now, they built a tower which I doubt that modern science could build today with all their machineries and things, because they were united together. They had one mind, one soul, one purpose, one motive, one objective. That's build a tower. So high that if God ever took notion to destroy them again, they'd run themselves right up into the heavens with him. There'd be no way that they could keep him from doing it, or he could keep them from doing it as they thought. And we find out then that they organize themselves together, and we find them again completely out of the will of God. These men did not start out to be backslid. These men start out with a sincerity before God. These were men that got around together. They sat around tables and they said, "We loved our precious Lord. What can we do to make this great work before the Lord?" These were men that were sincere. These were men that were, and I'm talking about in the denominational ranks. They did not set out to be rebellious.
Right.
It started out with best intentions, but it was not the will of God. And you know, we can put our efforts together as a family, as a church, as a business. We can start out with great sincerity, but if it is not the will of God, we're going to find ourselves in a backslidden condition.
Right.
As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. You say amen.
Amen.
We want to know, even though we're working sincerely, I want to know that I am walking in the will of God. Because you know what, young people? You can have a 6-digit bank account. You can have all bills met. You can have all these things done and be out of the will of the Lord. And it has not gained you one thing. You say amen.
Amen.
You think that devil won't tempt you? I'm telling you what, he don't tempt you with something ugly. He tempts you with something really beautiful. And if this isn't a beautiful picture of this day, that when men are trying to unite together, and we should be united, but we're uniting under the wrong systems. Did you ever notice how the devil patterns off the things of God? Did you ever see that how he takes the things that God has purposed? And so deceiving is the wrong thing. Now, a lie, if it's just an outright lie, then anybody can detect it. But that lie has got that's got 99% truth in it, that's the one that's deceiving. Did you ever notice how that the devil deceived Eve? Everything he told her was exactly the truth, but one thing. He said, your eyes will be open and you shall know right and wrong and so forth, and you shall be as gods because you don't know right from wrong, and all those things were true. But when he said, the Lord God said, we would die, he said, surely you won't die. See, just so much truth in it, and then just a little bit of a lie. And Jesus said on the earth, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now listen to what he's saying. And it's got to be perfectly right, or it isn't right at all. And the plan of salvation has got to be exact. And God's promises are exact. And they work exact. For there is something, there is something wrong somewhere. If the church of the living God is not achieving what God purposed for them to do, there's something wrong with that system somewhere. Got to be. You take a fine piece of machinery like a watch, let every piece of that machinery work in harmony, it'll work perfect time. But when one piece gets one way and another, it won't keep time. No matter how good the jewels are, it's all got to be unified together. You can have all the parts in the right place. You can have them all in the right assembly, but they've got to be in rhythm. Everybody's here this morning. Everybody's in church this morning. I believe we should be. Thank you, Lord, we got here. But are we in rhythm? When we're walking in the Lord on your daily walk, you're walking in the Lord. You're there. The Lord's with us. Can everybody say amen? The Lord's with us. Omnipresent. But I want, you got the Lord, and then you got the Lord. Let me know what I'm talking about. You've always got the Lord with you. Everybody can say, you know, the guy sitting in prison right now, he's got the Lord with him. The Lord's around him. The Lord's always knocking on his heart. But then you got the Lord, where the Lord is right in your midst. And the Lord says, I am here to do a work in your life. Abraham had the Lord all around him at all times. But there come a time when Melchizedek came, and it was a different kind of visitation.
That's right.
It was a deeper visitation. It was something where something was fixing to take place. Abraham was a man that had promises. Abraham was a man that served God to the level of the capacity that he was given. And if you look at on the peripheral view, the guy made mistakes all the time. Lied about his wife. He was if you look at him, he would think, God, why would you choose this man? That's what he probably thinks about me.
Yeah.
Amen. This was a man that walked, had the Lord at all times, but there come a day, friends, when it was a different kind of visitation. This time, it was Melchizedek come down to him and says, all these promises I've been telling you about the son that's going to take place, it's time. And friends, we're talking about a rapture that's going to take place, a body change will take place. We've been preaching it for years.
Right.
They're saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You got the presence of the Lord. Healings will take place in a meeting. And you'll go through life. And weeks go by. Months go by. Years go by. We're preaching. A rapture's going to take place. A rapture's going to take place. Yeah, I believe it. And, you know, things will go. But there's going to come a time where there is going to be a visitation.
That's right.
That's going to be the visitation. Where if God's going to give us that instantaneous quickening power, where we're going to have a body change. That's going to take place. But it's not something that needs to be taken lightly. I want to say, if I was to show you in all seriousness and tell you, on this day, you're going to have an accident take place, and you're going to need a move of God to come upon you on this day, on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock. You need to be ready because this accident's going to take place. How more diligently would you be in the weeks prior to make sure you are walking in the Lord? Because you knew at this day, right here, I am going to need a move of God at this moment right now.
Right.
And it's a seriousness of that life or death is going to take place. You would be so diligent on everything that you do in your daily walk. You would be more fervent in your prayer. Lord God, I need it. But why? Because there's a fear on the backside of you where you know there's something fixing to take place right over here, and I want to be ready for it. There is something even more. We're talking about a rapture of a body change that's going to take place, a once in a lifetime opportunity going to take place. And the devil will cause us to push that sensitation of that fear. You understand what I'm saying by fear, where you respect that coming of the Lord, if it's going to take place, if it's going to take a body change, he will make it to where you're desensitized. Right. To where at one time you're saying, yes, the Lord is fixing it. There's fixing a rapture to take place, and week by week, little by little, your rhythm that you once were in, where you were in rhythm with the Holy Ghost, and you're just ready. You're ready for the Holy Ghost. You're in rhythm with the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, because of time, and you get relaxed. And all of a sudden, you're no longer beating the drums. You're barely strumming the guitar. All of a sudden, you're just relaxed, and you're kind of watching it, and you're like, you know what, I can watch because, you know, I can get back in rhythm. And all of a sudden, I'm back in rhythm with God. Laodicean spirit is real. And it's where it will cause you to where you are so relaxed, you'll take the fear of the Lord away from you. And I was listening to a message the other day, Brother Benham, and what he said, I wish I had got the copy of it. Brother Benham said, he said, it'll come to a point where he said, God will sometimes actually allow harm to come your way to get your attention. Where you'll say, Lord God, help me get back on track. Did you know there was a man that, I believe he worked at a tire shop. Brother Benham, when he would talk to the man, talk about the Lord. And the man said, I don't even want to talk about the Lord. I don't even want to hear about him. And Brother Branham left. He went home and he said, surely he didn't mean that. Surely he didn't. He said, I'm going to go back and talk to him again. Surely he didn't mean that. He went and talked to him. He said, I'm telling you, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I don't want to talk about it. He left and the Lord took that man off the scene. Because he is not going to let his testimony be run in the dirt. When we call ourselves believers, friends, we need to, let's live up to the standard to where we can live at.
Yes.
You say amen. Let's live up to the standard. I don't want to have to talk about, I got a long way to go with this. It must be the right design and it must be in harmony. You take a family and you let the husband be in tune with God and his wife won't submit to him, that'll be a family of chaos. That woman becomes his wife and she'll represent him. When she bears children, she will look and act like him if it's done correctly. And they'll watch the reactions and responses. The children will watch her responses to her husband. In a family home, the children will watch the response of that mama to the way she reacts to her husband. And whenever she disrespects his word, they will disrespect his word just like that. If she does things behind his back, they'll start doing things behind their back. Is what I'm telling you the truth. Talking about the dinosaur all the way down. If she starts, you start out with the T-Rex up top, and she starts acting like a hippo or whatever it may be, kids will start acting just like that.
That's right.
That's why there's got to be unity inside the home. There's got to be unity inside the church.
Yes.
And if you don't have unity in the home, it will come to the church.
Yep.
Amen. God wants unity, but it's the right kind of unity. The children will watch her reaction to her response to her husband's words, and they will reflect what they see.
Right.
If she hears his words and says, it really don't mean that, or that was for another day, hello.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a story of a mama that got sick, sent the son to school, to Bible school. She got sick. Wrote home, said, you better come home because I'm dying, I'm really sick. And he comes on home, he gets there, and she's cooking eggs or whatever she's doing. He says, Mama, the letter said you were sick and you were on your deathbed. And she said, yes. She said, I was. She said, old preacher right up the road come and preached over me and laid hands on me and prayed me, and the Lord healed me. He said, and he used Mark 16. And the boy said, Mama, I've been in school and that word's not inspired. God don't do those things anymore. I imagine she was cooking the egg and she said, bless God. She flipped those eggs over and he says, Mama, what's wrong with you? She said, if he can do that with the uninspired word, what can he do with the inspired word? Flip them eggs over again. Because you know what? It's in. They'll want you to say it. That's not inspired. That's not really what your daddy meant when he said that. That's not really what
the Father said.
That's not really what the word means when it says that. Yes, it does. And I'm interested to really get into some good stuff here. We're the only crazy people that can go and get a whipping at church and go home and say, God, that was good. he said that, but he doesn't. That wasn't inspired. Just like keeping time in a watch correctly, she will be in rhythm with her husband. God separates gross darkness with light. Now listen to what Brother Rim says about this. He says, and the only light that we can have today in the church is God vindicating his light to this generation. Each generation has lauded so much happened in their days. We all know that. The prophets come on the scene. They, the word of the Lord, come to them, understood it. A seer in the Old Testament means that one that the word is revealed to. And how they know it? Because he foreknows things that will come. Then the word of the Lord come to them in each age. Now think about this. The word clearly said Emmanuel was going to be coming, and the Pharisees and Sadducees completely missed him. The word says it all through the scriptures. You can look in the Old Testament. It shows that he was coming. And then when Jesus come, they missed him. This is what Brother Branham says about it. He says, how did those clergymen fail to see it? How did they fail? How did those Pharisees and Sadducees fail to see? He said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. How did they fail to see it, brethren? It's because it had been prophesied that they would do it. And so it is today that gross darkness is coming upon the people. And here we are. God has lauded his word to be manifested this day. And it's the only light we have. And God is going to let somebody manifest that word. I want that to be me. Someday he's going to do it. He promised it. And he works just exactly like he always did by it. He has never changed his pattern of work. He prophesies what will happen, then sends somebody down and vindicates that. And it comes over the head of millions because darkness covers the earth at that time. And people love darkness better than they do the light because darkness has a lot of pleasure. You say amen. Sin is fun for a season. People make the mistake of just assuming God is with them. People make the assumption, God is with me. Because at one time you were in rhythm with God, you were in beat with God, you were in tune with the gospel, the preacher would greet you saying, amen, and you'd just be in rhythm. You're on cloud nine, you're walking in the spirit, you see God moving in you, you see all these wonderful things, and next thing you know, time goes by, and you just assume that God is with you. Everybody's awake. I want everyone to catch this. Mary, rather, and Joseph, thinking Jesus was with them, they were just perceiving he was with them, thinking it must be all right. He is bound to be with us, but they were sadly mistaken. He wasn't. So many good people is like that today. They think they see the hour approaching. They know something is fixing to happen. What do? They go join church thinking he is with them. They shake hands with the preacher thinking that that's all they have to do. He is with them, confirmed or baptized a certain way. That's all they have to do, thinking Jesus is with them. Brother, sister, just like Mary, Joseph of old, real sincere people, yet they were mistaken. Listen to what he says. Your life proves whether Jesus is with you or not. Your life shows whether he is occupied here or whether he is still in the heavens or not, whatever you are. The works that I do shall you do also. How could you have Christ in you and then the very Spirit in you deny his word? Take up a creed instead. It can't do it. He would defeat himself by denying his own word. Why would somebody want to take a creed over the word of God? And I say, don't push this out in the denominations necessarily. Because you know what? That don't affect us. Right. I want you to take this word and examine your life here because it don't matter how well it affects him. I want you yourself to leave here and say, I have used this word effectively on my life today.
Right.
Okay? So that's your responsibility to do this.
Right.
Why would someone want a creed instead of the true word of God? The same reason Israel wanted a king. They want instant results and not have to fight their battles. Is that the truth? Israel wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted them to fight their battles. Samuel even told them, he said, you don't want to do this because you'll have to give them of your crops, you'll have to give them of your herds, of your animals.
You have to do all these things. You have to pay all these things. They said, nevertheless, we want a king. We want to pay tribute to this king. Now, if you put that in the spiritual toward us, why in the world would somebody in their right mind want to take a creed over the Word of God?
Right.
I'll show you why. Whenever you just go to church and you assign a title to your name, and I don't mean to pick on the Baptist. That's just the way it is this morning. You say, I'm a Baptist this morning, and you just say, I'm a Baptist. All you have to do is fill in this little ball. As long as you fit inside that little ball, I'm okay because I'm a Baptist. There's really no accountability. There's no growth. There's no responsibilities of me to draw closer to God because I have fit the mold of a Baptist. And if that gets too tight, and that don't really fit the mold, it don't fit your taste, as the world would say, because they say you have your own flavor of serving the Lord. There's one flavor, and that's the Word. They say, well, that don't fit me. I'm going to step over here. I'm going to be a Nazarene. And that don't fit right. I'm going to step over here. I'm going to be a Pentecostal because I like to shout. But guess what? Whenever you do that, they started saying, "It's okay, you sisters, you can cut your hair. It's okay. You can go ahead and trim the ends, and overnight, everybody trims their hair."
That's right.
It's okay if you wear a scandal skirt. Why in the world would anybody want to wear anything to hold a scandal? I don't understand.
Right.
I'm telling you, that brings something inside me, a rhythm, something inside me, just an angerness on the inside of me when I see them telling a woman, it's okay, go ahead and put those bridges on.
Right.
It's okay. It don't matter. God loves you. Yeah, God will whoop your hind end, too. They'll give you that little bitty mold, and as long as you fit inside that mold, you're okay. No accountability. And you know what happens? Remember that T-Rex I put up there? What happens is when you're going down, if you go down, you'll get T-Rex, 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 T-Rex all the way down. All of a sudden, you stop and you get Baptist. And all that thing can produce is a Baptist. Baptist, 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 Baptist. And you can fill in the blank of whatever you want it to be. And when I say, well, we can bring it right into our ranks, I believe the genuineness of the message will never be denominational. I can still can't say it. You know what I'm saying? It'll never be that way. Denominated. There we go. I said it that way. It'll never be that way. The original. But around it, they are becoming nothing more than a denomination.
Right. That's right.
And they've got their mold where they can sit inside that. Is I am a message believer. I listen to the prophet. I've got the prophet's messages. I pay tithes. You ain't nothing more than another Baptist. Because I'm telling you what, the difference is you have to be born into this. By one Spirit, you are baptized into one body, the Lord Jesus Christ, where you have got to die to the old man, and there is a new life that comes inside you. Because whenever you die, a new life will take place, and you'll go right back to the T-Rex up top. Your life will go back, and you'll replicate exactly what that original life was all the way back from the beginning, because you've been born again. And you can look at your life, yourself. You examine yourself, and you ask yourself, am I the hippo? Am I some kind of something else, or am I a T-Rex? You look at your own life. You trace your own experience back. You look back in your own experience, and you should be able to look in your own life and say, I was born again. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is without sensation. Let me straighten this out here for young people. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is without sensation. That's true. But there should be a point in your life when you can look and you can say something changed. That's exactly right.
Amen.
You may not be able to pinpoint right at the moment and say, I received the Holy Ghost right here.
Right.
But there's a time frame. I don't know the exact day my wife got pregnant with Elijah, but I know one thing. It happened. I've got the evidence of it right there.
Exactly.
I don't know the exact moment that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but the life that I'm living represents I have been born again.
Amen.
And Brother Brennan said, your life will testify what you are. I want to represent the real thing. We've got loved ones. Brother Brennan, I wish I'd have got this. Brother Brennan talked about there's an enticing spirits versus the Word of God. Brother Brennan was talking about, he said, don't condemn the sinner. He's just trying to find him some pleasure. He said, you live a life such high enough that he will want what you have. We should, the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour, there should be people looking to you and saying, I want what you have. I get people all the time. I got a woman the other day that texted me. I worked with her 5 years ago. She found me on Facebook, messaged me, And she was asking me questions about her experience in the Lord. Why in the world would she call me? I don't talk to her. She seen something in her midst, and she knew that. She said, I know that's real. But the difference is, I tell her the answer of what you got to do. So I don't want that. I don't want to do these things. I just want the blessing,
right,
so to speak. You know what I'm saying? See? Because you know what? We've got the presence of the Lord when you're in His Word. Because God is in His Word.
Right.
And you know, I hate seeing the devil. He's a bluff. He's a bluff. He's a bluff. He's a bluff. You say amen.
Amen.
He's a bluff. And he'll put crowd over you. I'm going to show you something that happened to me. It's been a few years ago now. But I remember I was going through a time in my life where I was stressed out of my mind. I felt like my head was going to explode. My chest hurt so bad. I was so stressed, so stressed. And as I was traveling in the car, I was on my way to pick Dylan up. I was stressed, and I started searching myself back to, why am I stressed? And I started thinking about, what am I worried about? And so to speak, of like taking the cucumber plant, and you go to tracing it through the garden, trying to find the roots. I started tracing it back. Why am I stressed? I didn't have a single thing to be stressed about. But I was stressed out of my mind. How many times does that devil cause us to fret over something, and you have no idea what in the world you're fretting about?
Right.
You know why he does that? Because you take a sheep that's nervous all the time, fretting all the time, it will not produce. That sheep will, even though it's got food, even though it's got water, he will fret that sheep, fret that sheep, fret that sheep. That sheep will be sickly. And a lot of times, if you will search, trace it back to the root, and you ask yourself, why in the world am I not happy? Why am I fretting? A lot of times you'll find out it's absolutely nothing. It's a stress devil. So if you find yourself stressed, and I didn't have that on my notes at all. So if you're going through a moment in your life, time in your life, and you find yourself stressing, you trace it right back to the root. And you seek the Lord first. You say, Lord, if there's something in my life that's causing this, Lord, you repent of that thing. And you turn it away, and that thing has to leave you.
Amen.
So there ain't nobody here need to be stressing. Amen?
Right.
And if you need help, you call. That's what brothers are for. Amen. Let's go back to my notes here. Rather than fight it out and crucify their old man, it's easier to just claim a church and say, I'm a Baptist, Nazarene, Pentecost, or message.
Right.
The Baptist tree will bring forth Baptists. Now, listen to what Brother Brim says. That's the reason Jesus is coming for a chaste virgin, pure, filled with the Holy Ghost, and not of the world, but of the power of God. Oh, how wonderful to know that there is a possibility to get into this group. How do you do it? You'll never do it by joining into organization. You will do it when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the mystical body of Jesus Christ, raised with Him in resurrection, free from death and sin. That's the only way. Darkness. Great denominations and great group of men sets together and sets their ideas about it, and that throws you right back into a twist like there was at the beginning. No hopes at all in that case. You're simply gone. And all of them just seem to be so stirred up about this friendly churches. Think if God will be with them. Well, the millennium is going to start when the council all gets together up there and the ecumenical move and so forth. And they join in. What are they doing? Making an image unto the beast, a power. That where all the undenominations and so forth that won't join in with them will be shut out. Just watch and see if that happens. You ask, is he a prophet of God?
Yeah.
He's telling us right here, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That they're going to shut you out. If you think that we're past all that, you are fooling yourself.
Right.
We've got enemies, we've got things right on the threshing floor, right in front of us that we're fixing to see. No wonder Jesus rebuked them for not believing John. He was the light, because the prophet said he would come. And there he was, the manifested light. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. They thought he was the Messiah, and they thought something else, and this and other. They failed to see it. Listen to what he's saying here. Jesus, come on. Two lights can't shine at the same time. There can't be a church light and God's light shine at the same time. It's got to be God's light putting out the church light.
And that's exactly what's taking place today. God is separating churchism from his light of the promised word of this hour that we're living in. That's the truth, friend. You might not want to believe that, but you just wait and find out if it's true, if it's so or not. Don't wait, better. Get in now while there's still a chance to get in. The word is light when it's vindicated. Until the word it promised for this for the day is vindicated, then it's not light. It cannot be. If God said, let there be light and no sun come in existence, there is no sign of light. But when God said, let there be light, and there was light, when God promised a Messiah, Messiah come, then his word was fulfilled and he was the light of the hour. When he promised Noah and he promised the others and on down, they was the light of the hour. And there is a light of the hour today. That's Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. His word that's promised for this day. The works that I do shall you do also, greater than these shall you do, for I go to the Father. Greater works, greater things than he did? Question mark. Do you believe it? I believe it. It seems humble. It seems like it goes over the top of people's head. Look, when he was here on earth, how could you do greater works? I've translated that many times more. But the same thing, greater, he said in St. John. This is what he says about it. Did you notice when he went to make water into wine, he took water first an already created substance, and he turned it into wine. When he fed 5,000 people, he took a fish that once swam in the water, he broke it, he handed it out, and multiplied creation. He took bread that was once wheat, he baked it into bread, broke it, and he handed it out to the people, and it returned back to him, multiplied creation. Well, that's what he says. But in the last days, where there is no sign of creation, he speaks into creation anyhow. He shows to be the same God that was in the beginning. He can create squirrels. He can create whatever he wants to because he is God. Greater things than this will you do, for I go unto my Father. The word is infallible. It has to be manifested and it has to be fulfilled. Brother Brenham didn't take a squirrel and break it in half and multiply the squirrel. There was nothing there, and he spoke the word to it. He said, let there be a squirrel right there. And it happened. God don't just do things just to do things. God don't just ring bells to do some kind of a parade. When God does these things, he's got a purpose in it. Why would God do that through a prophet of God? He said, you speak the word. You say right over there. And he looked over the stump. He said, there'll be a squirrel comes right over there. Why did he do that? Because he's our prophet of our day. He's our messenger of our hour. If I need that squirrel, I can say, there'll be a squirrel that'll rise up right over there. Because I've got the spoken word if I'm in rhythm with the Holy Ghost. If I'm in rhythm with the message of our hour. I want to be upbeat. I want to be upbeat with the prophet.
Yes.
I want to be growing with the prophet. I don't want to be struggling over little piddly things that I can't even have God move on little things. We should be on that. We're at the point where I want a squirrel right over there. But you won't ask amiss. You won't be doing it for a parade. You understand what I'm saying? It'll be a maturity in the bride. That's where Brother, he talked one time. He said, you know, if you had the power to speak these things, you'd speak a man out of existence. Because he got you upset. It takes character. God is building character in our lives. But what do we got all this power for? What do we got this character for? It's because God has given us the ability where we can actually do third pull ourselves.
Right.
Where we, not the prophet, where us, we are committed with a situation where the things are coming upon us, the trials are upon us, and if I need a squirrel, I can have a squirrel. Did y'all feel like I preached a fairy tale to you?
No.
That's
good.
Brother Brenham did. I believe he's a vindicated prophet, a prophet for our hour, because he talked about Noah's day, their day. I want my day.
I want the things of my day, the things of my hour. I want the manifestations of my hour to where when these things come in front against me, I want to be able to use the tools that's been given to me to where I can speak the word. You speak to the word. You've got this mountain in front of you. You can speak to your mountain. When you're in the midst of a trial, and you feel like all the winds are blowing on you, and you can't seem like you can hear a heart look up, that's whenever you start speaking the word and you move forward. You speak the word yourself. And you got to, but the thing is, the devil's making you doubt who you are. It's hard to accomplish something if you don't believe that you are who the word says you are.
Right.
Why did the prophet going through and preach message? There's a man here that can turn on the light. Because there is gross darkness upon the earth right now. What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? You come to the point where you can't even sit through service all the way, and you're so ready for him to say, "Just okay, let's all stand and come to the music." Hello. Gross darkness will come upon us to where we can't even do the fundamentals of just being a Christian. Whenever we should be at third pull, to where we are seeing the word manifested in our life, to where we can actually see, I am seeing the manifestations of what Brother Brenham did in my life. Where if cancers comes our way, have you ever noticed that the Lord will give you a warning before something takes place? Friends, I'm telling you from my heart, I'll just tell you from my heart, I believe we have got a trial coming. And I believe that we need to start right now. And you need to start searching yourself and say, "Lord, help me be ready for what's taking place." I just tell you that as your brother. I'm not a prophet, nothing like that, but I truly, from my heart, I feel like we've got some wins coming. And we need to make sure we're doing these things right. Because you know what? You wait until that moment and you try to get right, it's not going to work. Just take that for whatever it's worth. People try to experience, people try to tie their experience to something that's happened to them at some point. And I'll go a little quicker through this. People will tie it to, they'll say, "You know what? I know, Brother Daniel, I got it because I spoke in tongues at this time. I shouted at this time. I got Holy Ghost bumps at this time. I went to camp and I received this at this time." He said, "You'll have all of these ties," and some people will even tie it to, "I got the fruit of the Spirit." If you really take the peripheral and you look at the fruit of the Spirit, let me tell you something. The Pharisees and Sadducees had more fruit of the Spirit than Jesus did. That's what Brother Brim said. He said the old priest would go visit them at the hospital.
Right.
The old priest would be the one that would go through them, and he would sympathize with them and what they were going through. But here was Jesus. He would walk through a whole room of people that were sick, and he'd heal one woman that touched him. If you were looking at the level of man's view, you would say, "This priest is what this guy's way more better than Jesus, because this man is sympathetic. This man is understanding. This man is sympathetic of what I'm going through." And Jesus went through, and there was one woman out of the whole group was healed. This man, the priest, was sympathetic when he seen the people in the temple selling birds, doves for these things, because he was sympathetic, because these people work hard and they press for time, and we have to do what we can do to help them serve God. Sympathetic.
Right.
He was sympathetic. Days have changed. It's understanding that you have to miss church. It's understandable. Times change. He was sympathetic. Jesus went and got some whips. He turned over the tables, kicked the tables over, whipped them out, and said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Difference between the two, the priest was sympathetic. He was understanding. Jesus put the house back in order. We need some more Jesus. You see, amen? When we're putting our house back in order. To where we don't sympathize and we just don't put up with the devil. Because the devil, you give him a little bit, he'll keep taking over, keep taking over,
right.
Keep taking over.
Right.
You give the devil an inch, heal with their reasoning. You can find a reason for just about everything to justify if you try hard enough.
Right.
And I'm just going to show some things. I don't break wine at the house, but I'm going to show you as an example how the devil can use that as the justification. As an example. That old devil, he can tell you, he says,
You can. The Bible says that a little bit of belly is a little wine from your belly is good for the stomach. He can use a scripture to try to justify a reason to drink wine at home. He can use reasoning. He can show you, as long as you don't overindulge, as long it goes back to the motive and the objective. Remember, sin is unbelief. So it's, you know, the drinking is not the sin. So that's not sinful. That devil can use something like drinking. And he can use reasoning, and he will use scripture to try to justify drinking wine, sitting at home. I'm not accusing anyone of drinking wine, but I'm showing you as an example. The devil, you give him an inch of reasoning, and he will take the whole crop. That's what Brother Brennan said. He talked about the king. He was going to get as close to the wall. Went for a chariot. The first man said, I can get you within a foot of the edge. The other man says, I'll get you within a half a foot. The other man said, I'll hug the wall. He said, that's the man I want. I want the man that'll hug the wall because I don't want him taking chances on me. Right. Brother Brown said, if there is a question in your mind, don't do it. Right. If you've got a question in your mind, is it okay for me to do this? It's a legit question. Is it okay for me to do this? And you're questioning it, don't do it. Because if there's a question in your mind, don't do it. How many know that's what the prophet said?
Amen.
Don't do it. Because that old devil, he will cause you to give just a little bit, and you start taking one step toward it, and he will pull you right into it. And next thing you know, you'll be doing things you never thought you would do. You start talking about your hair. Listen to me, sisters. He'll show you how to trim your hair just a little bit. He'll give you justification reasons of why you should trim your hair. Dead ends on the end of it. If you will trim it, it will grow better. It'll grow healthier. That's what they say. I don't believe it. Tommy Rod.
Right.
My wife's got the most beautiful hair, in my opinion, I've ever seen, and she does not trim her hair. They'll tell you every kind of justification of why it's okay to go ahead and just trim just a little bit. It's your motive and your objective. It goes back to your heart. Let me say something. If I was going to take the message, going to be my message book for right now, so to speak. Let's say this is the message. And let's say you show me black and white where Brother Brennan said, don't do it. And if you show me that, I won't do it. You take the message and you do a search and it says, man, don't wear a nose ring. Guess what? To my knowledge, you won't find it. Because he never addressed it. He never talked about a nose ring. But why in the world would you want a nose ring in the first place? But you understand what I'm saying. When you're wanting that, that is serving the Lord by your mental capacities. But when you get that experience down here, this guy won't want to do those things anymore.
Amen.
This guy will change. You know why? This guy will start, when you give your heart to the Lord, it'll start turning a certain rhythm. That rhythm may be far off to where you can't hardly hear it, but it will be in beat. When you give your heart truly to the Lord, there is something inside you that's turning. It will be in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. It may not be loud. It may not be where you can hardly hear it. It will be in rhythm. And the closer you get your experience to the Lord, it'll come closer and closer, and it'll come louder and louder and louder and louder. But it'll be the exact same rhythm it was when you gave your heart to the Lord. You know how I know that? The same voice that called Lazarus from the grave was the exact same voice that called you
when
you give your heart to the Lord. It's the exact same voice. You've got to be in rhythm. You have got to be in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. And that starts with being born again. That starts from your heart. You truly give your heart to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I truly, there's an experience you can't explain. How many knows what I'm talking about? You don't raise your hand. How many knows what I'm talking about? When you truly give your heart to the Lord, there's a rhythm that starts moving. If you give your heart to the Lord, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have words to explain the supernatural. You just do it the best you can.
Right.
And whenever you do that, let me show you something. Whenever you're in the denominational world and you give your heart to the Lord, there started a rhythm back there, and you're far away. And that Baptist
And next thing you know, you're uncomfortable. You've got questions. This rhythm is not in rhythm with the Baptist. You may try to go to the Pentecostals. You may go to different ones. You will never be in sync until you come to this message. And this message of this hour, that will be just like that thing that's in rhythm. And you can imagine a gear spinning back there. It's spinning perfectly. And you've got to watch. That thing will be able to spin just like it is, and it'll fit right inside that watch. And it will work perfectly. What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? It don't matter where your experience is in the Lord. You could be way down here. You could be way up here. Your rhythm is the same. The only difference is you're closer to the Lord or further away from the Lord. But the rhythm is actually it's absolutely the same. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. The difference is you're closer to the Lord. So we're in rhythm, but we need to be closer to the Lord. We need to be closer, because the closer we are to the Lord, the louder our rhythm can be where other people can hear. I want other people to hear the rhythm of the Holy Ghost in my life, where they can see the way I conduct business. They can see if I can, during my hard times, they can see. And Brother Brown and Brother Tony did the perfect example. You can have a cat that tries to act like a dog. You put him in a vise, you'll find out what he is real quick. You'll squeal. Yeah. During our pressure times, are we in rhythm?
Right.
You see, I'm not saying, do you make mistakes? Because this guy right here will make mistakes. But guess what? This guy in here that's in rhythm, he will bring you right back to repentance. Yeah. That's right. You know, your wife may do something. You lash out, or the vice versa. You may lash out and say something. You don't, not because you mean to. It's just we're flesh. But you'll have this thought here in rhythm. He'll lead you right back to repentance, because you won't be happy until you do. Thank God for that.
Amen.
This right here is what's going to get me in the rapture, not me.
Right.
It's going to be the Lord. And you know, I want to get this as close to that timepiece as I possibly can. And I'm almost finished, dear friends. We want to be in rhythm. And we want to be close to the Lord. Let me just read one more quickly here. This is the last one. Brother Rem says, and you know, it's exactly the way the word is written. God is duty bound to you to back up them. He said, he certainly is. God, don't matter about that. Why they say to make fun of, God is a jealous God. And I'm on, that's hard to read him sometimes, the way he talks. What he's talking about here is women that will get people to make fun of them because of the way they do their hair. People will make fun of them the way they conduct their business, the way they live their life. Brother, I'm talking about that. He said, people will make fun of you. This is what he's talking about. I'm going to try to read it as best I can. It's kind of chopped up. And you know, it's exactly the way the word is written. God is duty bound to you to back up then. He certainly is. Don't matter about that, why they say to make fun of. God is a jealous God. Remember, suffering for his word's sake is growing pains of his grace. When you suffer for his word's sake, it's just growing pains. You know how a little kid, 10, 12 years old, gets pains? Come in and say, Mama, my arms hurt. My legs are hurting, so forth. It's growing pains. It shows he has got some good vitamins. He is growing up. And when somebody begins to make fun of you, say, she is old-fashioned, look at him, he used to be all right. Remember, it's growing pains. That's the persecution is good for you. It's growing pains. So remember, people will have a tendency to make fun of you when you walk this message. When I go to work, people see my photos, especially when I go to the ocean. They get a good laugh out of me, because they'll see me with my shirt on, and I usually wear windbreaker pants because that's the way I feel I should conduct myself. And people will ridicule and make fun of me. They say, look at that. He said, man, you look so silly. He said, God knows your heart. He said, you don't have to do those things. I said, from my heart, I truly believe this is what's right. From my heart. Truly do. And I say this, I've got boys in here. I'm your minister first, daddy second, your friend third. You want to do a search on shorts, on where it was to wear shorts? Start at the beginning of the message, do a search all the way through it.
all the way through the scripture. If he talks about shorts, he'll say, he'll talk about women putting herself out there where men can look at her, all the way down. Start at the beginning of this message. You go all the way down to the end. All the way down. And it'll take you a long time. Trust me, I know. You go through there looking at shorts, and you see there, he'll talk about it. He'll say, look at those women. He'll talk about the women, putting themselves out where people can look at them. Put people out there, they can look at them. All the way down. And I want to say it's marriage and divorce. I want to say it's the name of the message. I can find it for you. He says, look at women, men out there wearing shorts. He's like totally insane. You know why he never talked about men wearing shorts in the beginning? What in the world would that even be in the conversation for? Of men wearing shorts. Because it goes all the way down to the end. If you look at it, he'll say, it's come to the point that even men are wearing shorts today. Am I telling you the truth? You do a search on it and you'll see that that's absolutely the truth. I say that because I love you. Not to be arrogant, not to be. It's because it's right. And if you're going off of a cliff somewhere in a boat, even if I have to break your arm, I'm going to break your arm. I'm going to pull you out of the boat. I'm going to tell you, it's not right. Brother Tony hit it on the message that last Sunday, and Brother Tony, you hit it on the head. You can try to give in just a little bit, and you'll try to watch just a little bit of movie. And the next thing you know, you're 10 foot deep into it.
That's exactly right.
It eats up your time. It eats up, and not just that. Your guard is so far up at first, you've got your guard up just like a boxer. He comes, I've got my weakness covered. Let him say one word, it's out of here. But what happens? At first, it comes through. One bad word comes through, you're out of here. You take that thing, kick it out of the house. Another one comes, you're out of here. Time after time, guess what? After a little while, oh, that won't hurt that bad. That was just one. We'll let that slide. Keep your guard up. Look, here comes another one. Okay, the next one he says, we're taking it out. And the next time you do it, you're ten words into it. Whereas at one time, the first word ever come out, you would destroy the whole thing. Reasoning. You'll let down your guard, and next thing you know, you're watching things you would have never thought you would have watched. And Brother Brenham said, kick it out of the home. I'm going to confess to you that I have fallen short on that, of letting my kids and myself watch a show, starting out with good intentions. And the next thing you know, your time's ate up. I'm going to tell you something. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's my confession to you and my confession to the Lord. Because you know what? I'm going to be in rhythm at that time. Rapture takes place, I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to let something get in my way. The little things in our home that can happen, the little things that can take place, if you give a little bit, next thing you know, you've given up everything. Let's all stand, if you don't mind. Social media. I've got a phone that I use at work. I use it all the time. I have to. I use it. That's how I do my job. Social media will get you to a point to where your life is literally consumed to where all you do is look at your phone. And all you're doing is texting or Snapchatting all the time. You're ate up, plumb up with it. All you're doing is phone, text. You're ate up with it. You don't do those things to be bad. Listen to me. That old devil will use that thing like a little hook in your nose. And you will go anywhere this thing tells you to go. You won't be able to sit and just sit across the table from somebody and just have a conversation because you're constantly having to pull your phone out. Friends, I'm telling you, I'm right in the tater patch. This ain't in the Baptist. This is right here in the message.
Right.
That thing will control you. It can become a god to you. And you know what? Let me show you how much of a god is. Let me take it away from you.
That's right. There you go.
How mad are you going to get? How frustrated are you going to get? How angry are you going to get because you ain't had it? It's just like a drug. You You take a person that's got a drug, they got an addiction of cigarettes, you take a cigarette from the prison, he'll get cranky, he'll get frustrated, he'll get angry. Your video games, exact same thing. You'll sit there and play it, looking at that, and you'll get so hooked on it. You ever tell you if you've got an addiction problem, let someone take it away from you. And you start getting upset because it's taking away. You know why? It's because it's controlling your life. We are made to be the head and not the tail.
That's right.
Well, we've got to put these things under our feet. Well, the Lord has called us where we can be victorious. We have been made more than conquerors. These are the things that need to be back under our feet. We need to quit giving in to the devil and let the devil take this. Brother Honey, you're awful. You're sure on a soapbox this morning. I love you. And you should pray for me because I've got... you ever heard of the Monday Blues? I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm telling you as your brother. You know what? If the Lord takes me off the scene today and I stand at the day of judgment, I will be stand accountable for what I've told you. And I am not going to be guilty of not telling you the truth.
Sure.
I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, if you don't mind. I know I have stepped on some toes and tails also, I'm sure. And I tell you as your brother, if this has stepped on you and you say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I've got some things I've got to put back in order. You know, you're welcome to come to the front and I'll pray with you. You don't have to. If you don't lift your hand up and say, Brother Daniel, I've got some things I've got to put in order. But you put your hand up and I'm going to pray with you. And the Lord sees your hands going up. Guys, I want us to not just be in rhythm. I want us to be close to the Lord. If God sees your hands going up, you be sincere before the Lord. Let's go to it now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, you are so wonderful, Lord. You are so glorious. Lord, I thank you for saving me, Lord, Lord, I thank you for letting me see this word, Lord God. Lord, I don't ever want to do anything to offend you, Lord. I want my life to, Lord, to be a perfect replica, Lord, a perfect example of the original, Lord. Lord God, sometimes I feel like I am so far away. Lord, I know my brothers and sisters, they feel the same way, Lord. But Lord, it's not us that's doing this work, it's you. Lord, but we're surrendering now. Lord, hands of God, my hands are up too, Lord. And I say, Lord, I ask you to come into this heart afresh. Lord, come into this house afresh and, Lord, do a good old-fashioned house cleaning, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to cleanse us with fire this morning, Lord God. Burn away everything, every desire, everything that's unlike you, Lord. Lord God, we want our desires to be your desires, Lord. And Lord, if they find any kind of an addiction towards something, Lord. Lord, it can't be not just addiction toward drug, be an addiction toward something in this life tangible, Lord. Lord, help them to overcome that in a total deliverance, Lord. Lord God, we want to put you first in our lives. I'm asking you, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door, Lord. Go across even now. Knock on every heart, Lord. Lord God, cleanse us this morning, Lord. Let our desires be your desires, Lord. Lord, let your word be first in our life, first in our homes, Lord. Lord God, I want a revival, Lord, a stirring in this church, stirring in our homes, oh God. Lord, we can see you afresh, moving, Lord God. Lord, as I was reading with a prophet, Lord, he spoke the world, the squirrels into existence, oh God. But that wasn't by living earthbound, Lord. Lord, that was by being caught up, Lord, and letting go of everything in this world, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be in tune with you, God. I'm asking you, Jesus, search our hearts. Forgive us of our unbelief, Lord. Lord, and help us to be more fervent, Lord. I'm asking you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask musicians to come forth. Lord, I thank you for your grace this morning. Thank you, Lord. This is my desire.
say amen that you heard this morning. You know, maybe sometimes feel like the preachers that get up there behind the pulpit and railing on you sometime or whatever, but we've said this before that, you know, Brother Ram said that the word always corrects the error. And if we're here and we know we're not quite where we need to be, then we expect the Holy Spirit to come and talk to us about very issues in our own life where we fall short. And there is, it's going to be, if you want ministers that are Holy Ghost filled and speaking to you what God wants you to hear, then you might as well just realize they're going to talk to you about what's in your tater patch. And you should appreciate that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, last Sunday, you know, when I shared with you. But, you know, Brother Claude said, you know, he tells his church, he says, if you sin openly, I'm going to rebuke you openly.
That's right.
And you say, you know, that's pretty harsh, Brother Tony, but I'm going to tell you what, we're supposed to live by the Word of God. And I can show you in the Scriptures where Paul said, them that sin rebuke openly that others may learn to fear. What would you do if your ministers got up there and did that openly? You would find out real quick whether we're Christians or not, right? Because Christians live by the Word. But, you know, the thing that I want to kind of just end what Brother Daniel said here is that, you know, the Scriptures tell us that we want to be not just hearers of the Word, but we need to be doers. And I believe that week after week, you hear truth and you hear things that absolutely, if you put them in place in your life, it will absolutely make a difference in your life. And you'll be a greater, stronger Christian if you just put those things in place. But you know what? Your preachers can't put those in place for you, right? And if you expect God to come down and force you or just do it for you, that's not it at all, because then where would you be your victory? Where would be your character? Because character is a victory, see? But God gives you His Word, and He wants you to take that Word and put it into action, right? And so when Brother Daniel was talking, I was thinking that if you have a house and you let things begin to get cluttered up, might start out, well, I'll get, you know, this, a little bit of that. And next thing you know, we have people today what they call hoarders. So you let things just get cluttered up, and after a while, it's going to get to the place where you can't even function normally in your own home because you've let things get cluttered up. And you can sit around all day long, week after week, month after month, year after year, and say, man, I wish this place wasn't cluttered. I wish I could live normal. But I can't. I'm having to trip over and step over all this stuff. And here's what I'm trying to get at. The only way you're going to ever have a house that's clean and not cluttered is if you start taking things that there that shouldn't be there and sticking them out in the trash pile.
Amen.
And this is the thing I want you to leave with today. You've heard things that you know needs attention in your life. And you've got to be something greater than just a hearer of what you've heard. You've got to go home and lay hands on that thing that you know Brother Daniel talked about. You've got to lay hands on that thing and put it out on the trash pile right now. And if you don't do that today, tomorrow your life's going to be even more cluttered. See what I'm saying? And that's the way it works. See? And so that's what I want to encourage you to do. Every one of us. Amen? Everyone is. Brother Daniel preached to me too. See, I know what the Holy Spirit moving, and Brother Daniel and I, we're in tune. See, and he's right. Because the closer you get to being Jesus Christ to this earth today, in this earth today, the more the devil's going to put wind at you. He's going to put something at you to try you and get you all tripped up.
That's right.
And you know, if we're normal people, we should get hungry.
That's right.
Right? If you're a normal Christian, you should hunger and thirst after God.
Amen.
And you know what? But if you eat a bunch of junk food, now these sisters will tell you because they study of the diets and things like that of what to eat. But you can eat things that will make you not be hungry. And a lot of times the things you eat to make you not hungry is not stuff you need. Right? So if you don't have the proper hunger for the proper things of God, it's because you're feasting on something else. See? I know I've said this before, you know, my grandma wouldn't tell me that. Long about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd want a snack. She'd say, you ruin your supper. And lo and behold, that's right. If I nibbled on something I shouldn't have, by supper time, I wouldn't be hungry. So we want to be hungry for God and for the things of God that He can give us everything that He wants for us. And the only way that's going to happen is if you mind your diet. If you pay attention to what you eat when you eat it. Right? Now what am I talking about? What do you spend your time doing? It's like Brother Nathan said. You want to know something as God, as a God to you? Have somebody take it away. I remember when we was up at Bartlesville one day, Brother Claude was telling us about his granddaughter. Their family doesn't go to church, I don't think, but her phone quit working. And it was on the weekend, and she wasn't going to be able to get it fixed until during a weekday. She thought to go nuts. It was really bothering her. See? So, how about you do that? How about you take some of these things out that takes up your time and try to set it over the side or give it to your parents or whatever and see how it affects you? And you'll find out real quick how much it means to you. We don't want to be feasting on a bunch of other stuff, but amen. So right now would be a really good time for you to drive a stake in the ground and say, okay, Brother Daniel, he spoke this morning, and I know he's right. This is something I have to deal with in my life. Right now, drive a stake in the ground and make a promise to God and to yourself that you're going to go home and you're going to deal with that. And you're not going to let Satan take you any further. Go home and clean out the trash, because it's not going to disappear. You're the one that put it there. Right? So go home and do it. Amen. How many will do that? Amen. You take one step toward God, I guarantee you he'll take two or three towards you. Right? God bless you. Let's just sing again. Speaks through dreams, but he mentioned in there that what he got from that, how that dream the Lord was speaking to him, how that was that it's the walk that you do every day that's going to get you in the rapture. And I told him, I said, Brother Daniel, that's right, because, and Brother Branham talked about this, Enoch, who typed the bride, seventh from Adam, Enoch walked with God. That's what that scripture is telling you. That in an hour where God was ready to destroy this earth, there was a man who walked with God. And I told you a while back, if everybody walked with God in that hour, he couldn't emphasize that. That was the thing he wanted you to know out of that scripture, that in that hour where God was ready to destroy the earth, there was one man who walked with God, and walking means a daily thing. And Brother Bram talked about it. He said he needed a ladder, but God gave him, and I wasn't there to see it, but if you listen to it, he's talking about a slope. He needed a ladder to take him up, but he gave him a slope because you can go up pretty quick on a ladder, but it was a daily walk. And he just kept walking and walking and walking until finally he was gone. And that's the thing. It's not going to be something you do some morning when you wake up and you get really good that day and your body's changed because of it. Brother, sister, it is what you're doing every day that's going to. And by the time that gets here, when that morning arrives, it won't be a problem for you at all, because you've been walking and moving in that direction all that time. And that's right, Brother Daniel. And that's the thing we got to pay attention to. This is what God has put in our possession to possess and to overcome. And I believe with all my heart, those who go in the rapture will be overcomers to this right here. No doubt. Overcomers to what this is like anything else. It's a tool that you can use for God, but what are you doing with it? We could all ask ourselves about that. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ will be somebody that social media and all that right there will be right there in place where it ought to be. It will serve them like those enemies that God said Israel, they're to be your servants. We're not to be servants to those things. So you know, we live in that hour. But this is the thing that's before us. I bless you. Let's sing this again. You can be dismissed. There is time.